Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for all the things you have done for us. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, and the fact, God, you freed us from our sins. You freed us from our worries and our cares, and you have promised us an eternal home with you in heaven. Lord, I pray that you'd guide these next few minutes as we look into your word. Help us, God, to grab hold hard of your truth. Thank you that you are faithful, you are reliable, and we can count on your word. We praise you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. My second year of seminary, a friend and I decided we needed to get in shape. And there was a little gym on campus. So every week, about two or three times a week, we'd meet up at 7 o'clock down at the gym, get ready to pump iron. Well, I got to tell you, it's really helpful to know that there's somebody else counting on you. Because usually every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6:55, the last thing I felt like doing was getting out of bed and walking to the gym and exercising. But I knew my buddy was going to be there. We did this regularly, and he knew what he was doing. He was encouraging, and I was starting to get encouraged. My personal bests are not fabulous, but they were better for me than what I'd done before. And I was feeling really good, and I have to admit, I'd go home afterwards, and, you know, I got to take a shower, and you kind of, hey, it's looking better than before. And, you know, I started to get the point a little bit where my head was bigger than my muscles, but you know how that goes. Well, inevitably, when I've come to that stage in my exercise program, the Lord says it's time to get his attention off of himself and onto me. Well, the next time we went down there, we got up early. I must not have warmed up properly because, oh, what was that? And I don't know what I did, but I tweaked one of the muscles in my back. And let's just say I didn't lift any more that week or the next or that month. In fact, I was in agony. I'd never hurt my back before, and I suddenly, now I know what everyone complains about. I suddenly had this new empathy. I was not comfortable standing. I wasn't comfortable sitting. I wasn't comfortable laying down. The only way I was comfortable was slowly walking. So I spent a lot of time walking around campus. I also had a giant bedroom, and so I'd have my books. I couldn't sit studying, so I kind of walked in circles studying for that final week. Well, I was miserable, but I was like, well, Lord, I guess you just got my attention. You want me to be thinking more about you than me, and yes, exercise is important, but don't let it go to your head. And I will say, though, after about 3 weeks, one morning I woke up, and I jumped out of bed, and I took my shower and put on my clothes and went to campus, and then it suddenly struck me, I don't hurt anymore. Oh, you, Lord, I felt so good that day that I didn't even realize, I'd forgotten it hurt my back, and I just went about my day, and oh man, I was like, thank you, Lord, you are good to me. Well, we're going to look at a guy who went through a similar experience. He was going about his business, doing his job. Something happened, the Lord stepped in and said, it's time to get your attention. It's time to do a work in you because I've got something for you down the road. And then in the end, he praised. And this, of course, is Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth. Now, if you one thing that's important to remember is the Lord had interacted many, many, many times. He had spoken many times to his people, but suddenly there is now, man, not suddenly, well, suddenly God stopped talking to the nation. And for 400 years, God had not spoken. And suddenly, something happens. Zechariah is a priest. He's not the high priest, but he's a good priest. He's a faithful man. He's worked hard. He's done everything the Lord had asked of him. He's married for many years, and he's prayed for decades, Lord, I want to have a child. And the Lord never gives he and Elizabeth one. Well, it's his once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He is in the temple to light incense. We're in Luke chapter 1. I'll go ahead and do a little bit of reading. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commands and statutes of the Lord. Wouldn't you like that to be written about you? But they had no children. because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. While he was serving as a priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. This was a big deal. This was his shining moment. Perhaps as a priest, the day you were always looking forward to. You know, I can imagine, let's say you're a security guard and suddenly the president's coming to town and you get assigned to his door. Oh man, that's what you're looking forward to. Or a police, or you're a young Marine and suddenly you're said, you know, your job is going to be to work on Marine One, the president's chopper. Oh, this is exciting. This is where Zechariah is at, the moment he's been waiting for. Well, what happens? The whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel. He was to get in, light the incense, and come straight back out. Wow, this had to be exciting. I am sure the night before he woke up and said, oh boy, Elizabeth, guess what I get to do? I get to go in, and I get to offer these incense before the Lord, and this is what I've been so looking forward to. This is going to be incredible. I've never seen it in that room before. This is going to be great. Well, the angel appears and standing to the right of the altar of incense. Well, Zechariah is a normal, intelligent guy. When an angel appears, he's afraid and he's troubled and fear falls on him. In verse 13, the angel says to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Whoa. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you will call his name John." For years he'd been, "Lord, please, Lord, please." And then I think he'd gotten discouraged. Well, he knew his biology. He knew that they had tried and it hadn't happened, and now they're old, and he didn't see any other seniors running around with the kids. And interesting response. He's told, "You're going to have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before their Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he'll turn many of the children to the Lord their God. He'll go before him in the power and spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people for the Lord." Guess what? You are going to have a son. He's not just going to be a run-of-the-mill Hebrew kid, son of a Levite. Oh my goodness, the one the prophets wrote about is going to be introduced by him. The one the prophets said is coming to prepare a way in the wilderness, that's going to be your boy. He is going to have an amazing, powerful role. Oh man, Zechariah, are you going to be ready to train him in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Are you going to be ready to take on this challenge? Zechariah says, "I don't think so. How's this going to happen?" He goes, "How shall I know this? I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Ah, Zechariah, you blew it. You had walked faithfully, blamelessly before the Lord, and you get to your bright, shining moment, and you respond in disbelief. Ah. And so the angel said, "Fooey on youy, you're done. Bada bing, here comes a lightning bolt." No. God didn't do that to Zechariah. God still had a plan for him. And you know what? I take great encouragement, because sometimes I'm like Zechariah. The Lord doesn't like appear like that to me. I don't have any cool stories like that. But I know he's got plans. I know he has ideas. And I don't always act or respond perfectly. I'm sure you don't either. You know, here is the best thing ever that happened to him, and he kind of blows it. But God doesn't kick him out. "Well, I'm tough with you. Get out of here then, yes. You twerp, you know, you don't deserve to have a kid." No, God doesn't do that. Aren't you glad? Zechariah belonged to God. And if you belong to God, you are still his children. He is not going to kick you out, even if you mess up. This is great, because God had a plan. And God knows when he wants to use us, there's a whole lot of work that has to happen before we're ready. Ah, be encouraged. Now, Zechariah is about to face a challenging situation. It's not going to be easy. But God is not done with them. And whatever you are going through, God's not done with you either. Are you glad? You know, when you become his child, he gives us 1 chances, second chances, third chances. Now, by chance 500, I think the Lord's going to start to say, listen up, pal. You know, we have that conversation in our home sometimes. We've talked about how many times you wash your hands before dinner with soap and dry your hands. It's like, how many times have we had to say this? And so we may need to back up and take a whole new approach. But we don't get rid of the kids. And God doesn't get rid of us. Zechariah may not have responded perfectly. He may have blown it, but he wasn't finished. And you're not finished either. No matter what choices you've made, no matter how you've messed up, the Lord's not done. Take heart. Take heart. But what happens to him? And I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Uh-oh, he's got the direct connection. I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. He responds poorly. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Now the Lord is showing up through Gabriel to Zechariah, and God wants to get his attention. And the Lord wants us to pay attention. The Lord is very concerned. He can do anything he wants, but it's more challenging if we're not listening to him. I know, folks, you know, you think of the limo, you know, how low can you go? Well, sometimes it's like, how low do you have to go before God gets a hold of you? You know, I've known folks that had car accidents, and that's when the Lord got my attention. I know folks who were sick and in the hospital. Whoa, that's when I quit smoking, or that's when the Lord really got a hold of me. I know others that God's still trying to get their attention. There's someone local that grew up in a Christian family. I met them when they were homeless, living in the state park with their family. The Lord's trying to get their attention. They really kept pushing God away. They had an accident, paraplegic, paralyzed from the waist down. God's still trying to get their attention, and they're not responding. And I think to myself, you know, I've been really dumb in many ways before, but when the Lord gets my attention, I want to respond quickly. I don't want to have to be called 50 times, because the Lord is really good at, okay, he does something, we'll drop you down a notch. Okay, are you listening? No. Okay, are you listening now? Are you listening now? You listen now? I don't want to be in that situation. I want to be quick to say, okay, God, sorry, da-da-da-da-da. I get it now. And I know other folks, some of you may have family members, who are just going, when are they going to get it? God keeps knocking, and nobody seems to be home. Well, Zechariah, pay attention, and we're going to see that he does. God's going to get his attention. But the great thing is, God's not done with them. He's not done with me. He's not done with these others. If God's knocking at the door, there's a reason for it. So what happens? You can just imagine, Zechariah comes out. The whole crowd is out there praying, and they're all anxious. Hey, Zechariah, how'd it go? I mean, imagine the biggest moment of your life. You know, you're getting recognized for a teacher of the decade, and you trip as you go to the podium. But God wasn't finished with them yet, and God's not finished with you yet. Be glad, but it may be painful, depending on how long it takes God to get your attention. Now, I want to say something, though, that sometimes the Lord allows things. Sometimes he brings things. It wasn't that the Lord suddenly caused him to catch an infection and his vocal cords were paralyzed. No, God went bong, and his vocal cords were not happening. But you can wrestle with, is God bringing this or is God allowing this? Well, let's just say he's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. We can't really slice and dice that equation. Job did not have privy to the heavenly council when Satan and God were talking, you know, and where Satan was like, hey, will Job really follow you because you've been so good to him? And Job didn't know that, but he just had eventually to trust that God was sovereign and he was good. And as God's people, we have to remember, Romans 8:28, God can bring good out of everything, if we'll let him and if we respond well. But Zechariah, suddenly, God has his attention. And I hope that we will be quicker on the uptake than others. God still can do things because he needs to take us low. We'll talk about the pruning in a moment. But hopefully we're quick and he can continue the process because he wants to, not because we're too thick-headed. So what happens? He's silent. And the people were waiting. They're wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he's unable to speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple. And he came making signs to them and remained mute. It didn't just go away. If you've ever been to too loud of a concert or you've been shooting guns and hunting and something like that, your ears can ring and you can't hear that well. But hopefully within a couple days, you can hear again. But in this case, it continues. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And we know his wife conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden. And after the 6th month, the angel appears to Mary, and Mary comes over. And this must have been fascinating. Zechariah, for 6 months, had been silent. Hadn't been able to talk. And then Mary comes over, and she and Elizabeth are praising the Lord. We read a little of Mary's song last week. And there's this great thing. And this was not easy. This was very difficult. I hope, though, when we blow it, and when we do, that we will be quick to say, okay, back on track with God, back on track. We get to the next section. We're going to flip to verse 57. Well, the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And Zacharias had a lot of time of silence. But you know what? He hasn't wasted it. Because God has been at work in him. Because think about this. He's going to have a baby in his old age. And he knows that this child has a special role. And because Zechariah is a priest, he knows about what a lot of the prophets went through. Some people in some circles say, I'm a prophet. Well, you don't want to be an Old Testament prophet because by and large, people didn't listen to you and they tried to kill you and they sometimes succeeded. And he's going, oh, wow, my son is going to be a prophet. That's cool. That's not so cool. He's in for a world of hurt in a very literal fashion. But Zechariah had to be thinking the whole time, okay, I've got to raise a son who knows God's word, who knows God, who is going to be ready to fulfill this task that God has. And I'm convinced that Zechariah had a whole lot of time to think. He'd already performed his duties at the temple, and then he goes home waiting for the next call. Besides, he's older. Maybe he's retired at this point. But meanwhile, Elizabeth and Mary are all excited, doing all kinds of things, and he is waiting. He's got a tough job, and God steps in, and he's going to have to prune him. God wants us to pay attention. He wants to prune us. Pruning is a difficult thing. If you want to have a good crop, you've got to get in there and trim things. I remember as a little kid, I was about 5, we went over to my uncle's house. He had some apple trees, and he said, hey, you want to come help me prune the apples? What you do is you kind of remove some of the stems so it'll send more life to the productive ones. Well, I didn't quite get it. So he was over, there'd be like a group of 5 apples and a scrawny one. He'd pull the scrawny one off so the energy of the tree wouldn't go to that one. I didn't quite get it. I was just pulling off clumps. Finally, he ran over. No. Why don't you go see Annie Grace for a while? Because he went back to prune, because the whole point is to strengthen the plant, not like rip its potential apart. And that's what God was going to do to Zechariah. He had to get Zechariah ready for a job. And there are many times that God brings difficult circumstances in our way because he's got something else in store for us. He has a training program. If you look in John 15, the Lord talks a lot about pruning. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. And he says, the branches that don't produce fruit, I cut off. They're not part of me. He says, if you're part of me, you'll produce fruit. But the key is for the branch to stay connected with the vine. And during this time, Zechariah, I'm convinced, went through a pruning time. You may not like the notion of prune. But another way you can look at it is discipline or punishment. And some people say, well, I don't like this whole notion. Well, I don't believe that Zechariah was being punished because punishment is for those who don't belong. You see, he belonged to God. He faithfully followed him. And if you are a believer in Christ, he will not punish you. You know what he did with your sin? He put it on Jesus. Jesus took your punishment. And then you become his child. You become his son, his daughter. And it's no longer about punishment, but it's about discipline. Think about punishment and discipline. Is punishment is like a penalty for what was done wrong. Discipline is a process of saying, I want you to grow. The punishment is about the bad you did in the past. The discipline is looking forward to growth in the future. And because Zechariah belonged to God, no, the Messiah hadn't arrived yet, but he was a man of faith. And in order to be right with God, throughout the Old Testament, you had to have faith. And the same is true today. But God was disciplining him. Because remember, God didn't just toss him out. He still went home, had a baby, and raised him. And sometimes God has to discipline us. And it's for our good. You look in Hebrews 12, that's a classic passage about God's discipline. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. God disciplines the one he loves because he doesn't want you playing in the freeway. He wants to make sure you remember it's not good because he wants you to stick around. And Zechariah responded in disbelief, but God wasn't through with him. He wanted him to grow in belief. And after decades and however many times, lo and behold, she was pregnant, exciting. And God was clearly not done. The prophecy was going to take place. This is a great thing. But he had to go through discipline. And in Hebrews 12, if you go through discipline, God's treating you as son. Because if you're not disciplined, then you're illegitimate and you're not sons. There was a consequence that he had to face. His consequence was he couldn't talk and that he would be embarrassed and that this was going to be a challenge. But God was using that to prune him, to train him, to get him ready for the next step. There may be some things that have come your way. Maybe they're because of discipline. Maybe it's because you blew it in some area. You're having to deal with the ramifications of the past. You still have some consequences to deal with. But maybe you've done nothing wrong. You've taken care of your body and you still face sickness. The Lord knows that. And a key thing for Zechariah and a key thing for us is knowing who is God. Because Zechariah could have been really ticked during this process. Man, I'm a priest. I'm righteous and blameless before God. He knows it. I've been doing my duty. And then one little slip up and look what I'm stuck with. I can't talk. What a pain. Zechariah could have gotten really mad. And you know, I have a feeling he wasn't happy at first. During this silence, God began to work in him. And I'm convinced that he began to see that God was pruning him for something greater. God was at work. I've heard it said, the most important thing about you is what you believe about God. Who is God? Is he good? Is he merciful? Is he kind? Is he just? Is he looking out for you, his child? Is he concerned about your good and his glory? Or is he mean? Is he angry? Is he capricious? Is he like the jerk neighbor of yours? You know, what is he like? From Scripture we know he does deal harshly with those that don't get it. But it's always because he wants them to repent. He will come alongside and he will do in our lives what it takes to get our attention. Sometimes he will allow things to happen in our lives to get our attention. Sickness, struggle, strife, separation, estrangement, difficulties. You may not have done anything wrong, but the Lord said, I've got a pruning I want to do because there's some rough areas in your character and in your life, and I just want to make you more like Jesus, because that's what it's about in the Christian life. God's going to do what it takes to make you more like him. It may be because you're not learning the lesson. It may be he just wants you to listen. He wants you to learn. But he's going to step in, and he's going to allow these things. And so Zechariah had this struggle for a while. But thankfully, instead of him becoming bitter, over time, Zechariah said, okay, Lord, okay. Because when his time of service in the temple was home, he took action. The baby came about, and clearly he was responding in faith. He did his part, and the Lord blessed. He paid attention. He began to accept the pruning process. And we always have a choice. How are we going to respond with difficulties? Are we going to get mad at God? Are we going to push him away? I don't like this. I don't want this. Why are you doing this, you big meanie? You probably don't use that word, but I hear that sometimes. Or are we going to say, okay, Lord, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to do? Help me to respond. Help me to learn from this. Well, the great thing is we know that Zechariah finally said, yes, I believe. And they came to circumcise the child. And they were going to call him, the people wanted to say, hey, let's call him Zechariah after his dad. And his mother said, no, he should be called John. And they said, none of your relatives is called by that name. And they make signs to him. What do you want to call him? He gets the writing tablet. His name is John. He could have been stubborn like some of us. But what happened? He believed the angel. He took action. His name is John. And immediately, verse 64, his mouth was opened. Isn't this incredible? Over time, he paid attention. The Lord did a work in him, and he ended up being able to praise. And he spoke blessing God. And all the neighbors were fearful, and they talked about this thing. And they all said, what then will this child be? This praise that come out of his mouth is extra poignant and powerful because he hadn't been able to talk for 10 months. After I had tweaked myself weightlifting, when I woke up that day and didn't even remember it, suddenly I stopped and, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, after you've come through the 24-hour flu, it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. I never knew feeling normal felt so good. You know, oh, but to feel good again. Your words of praise were there. And the first thing Zechariah does is just say, oh, thank you, Lord. Blessed be you. You visited us. You've redeemed us. You've done good things. You kept your word. You can be trusted. But remember, he'd gone through a really rough time. It'd been a rough, lonely 10 months. But God was faithful to him. He hadn't given up on him. He doesn't give up on you either. I want to encourage you, whatever you are facing, let God get your attention. Pay attention. He might be just trying to prune you. He might be disciplining you because you truly are his child. And ultimately, he wants your praise. Is this easy? No way. Is this fun at times? Absolutely not. But if we know that God is working on our behalf, we can rejoice in him. Kim and I worked with a lady named Mary, and we introduced her to our kids as Missionary Mary. She worked in Cambodia, and she was a great lady. She's from Eugene. She actually wears tie-dye. It fits, you know? But she's had a couple challenges in her life. One of them was she hurt her back severely. It was so bad, she literally spent months laying on her. She'd wake up in bed and stare at the ceiling all day. She couldn't move. She couldn't do anything. The only relief she had was laying there. I'm convinced that Mary didn't have this massive sin in her life, but nevertheless, the Lord wanted to do some work in her. And for months, she lay there just looking up at the ceiling. And she had a lot of conversations with God. The Lord was rubbing some rough edges of her. He was challenging her with some things. Because he was mean and didn't like Mary? Absolutely not. Because he knew she had some stuff to go through so she would be ready for the next step. And I am certain that a lot of what she thought about as she lay there on her back was her sister. Her older sister had been her greatest cheerleader, had been her greatest example and dearest friend. And while Mary was serving as a missionary, someone murdered her sister. It wasn't until after the funeral they discovered it was her sister's husband. That was a hard one to deal with, especially since the last time she'd seen him was at the funeral. Well, Mary had to process a lot of things, and she had some difficult things to work through. She had done a lot of the hard work earlier, but I think she also had a lot of work to do as she lay on her back and looked at the ceiling and talked to God all day. Fascinating thing. Mary's a counselor in Cambodia, and God has used every single thing she went through. There's lots of people with back issues and problems. She still can't ride a motorcycle. She's still got to be careful. She can still throw things out quickly. But she is sensitive to those who are hurting. Another interesting thing is, as a counselor, she's in her late 50s, I think. Every single Cambodian in their 50s knows what it's like to have one of your family members murdered. God did not waste that experience. Was that a good thing? Would she go, oh, yay, God let my sister be killed so I can relate to all these people? No, she's a healthy counselor. She's normal. But God has allowed her to connect with people. And she said, Lord, I will pay attention. I will go through your pruning. I will say yes to what you want to do. And she doesn't praise God for what happened to her sister, but she praises God because of what God has done through it all. And she is seeing how difficult things in her life have led to God being praised in her life and in the lives of Cambodians who everyone else had written off. And there is new life. God didn't give up on Mary. He didn't give up on Zechariah. He doesn't give up on the poorest of the poor in Cambodia who are struggling with mental illness. He doesn't give up on you. He doesn't give up on his children. He may allow silence. He may allow sickness. He may bring struggle and strife. These kind of things may be part of, it may be sciatica, it may be stomach problems, it may be whatever. But it knows what you need. And he has the big picture in mind. Zechariah's silence led to singing. And my prayer is whatever is going on in your life, that you will say yes to the process of God. Be honest when you're struggling and it hurts. And it's like, God, I don't like this. He can take it. You don't have to like it, but you can say, Lord, I love you and I will trust you with what you're doing. It may be you get through it just fine. It may be you will continue to struggle till the day you die. But God can be trusted. God is good. Missionary Hudson Taylor said, you can trust God too little, but you can never trust him too much. He knows what he's doing. We're still reading about Zechariah because he got with God's program. And may we as well, no matter what is happening, silence or struggle, let it lead you to singing. Let me close in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you that here in this broken, messed up world, in our lives which are a mess, our health with problems, our finances, our personal relationships, the brain going on between our ears, the things we have problems with in our bodies and our mouths. God, thank you that if we're your children, you haven't given up on us. You are faithful, you are good, and you are wanting to conform us to become more like Jesus. Help us, Lord, to not be bitter, but better. Help us to follow in your footsteps, to trust. So, Lord, no matter what you allow or bring or what happens along in our lives, we can sing praise to you because you're worth it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.